the author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior, oh
Savior, he can move a mountain.
My God.
My God is
mighty to save.
And he is mighty to save.
Forever, the author of salvation.
Come on.
He rose and conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me. Come on.
So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures.
Come on.
Fill my life again.
I give my life to follow. Come on.
I give my life to
everything
follow.
I believe in.
Everything I believe in.
Now I surrender.
Now I surrender.
I surrender all. Oh,
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty
to save.
Forever, oh,
forever, the author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior.
Savior. He can move the mountains.
Come on, somebody lift it up.
My God
is mighty
to save.
And he is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. And he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus
conquered the grave.
Shine your light, oh.
Shine your light and you let the whole world see.
Come on.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Shine your light, oh.
Shine your light and you let the whole world see.
We're singing
of the risen.
Come on, shine your light. Shine your light.
Shine your light and
you let the whole world see.
Oh, we're singing.
The risen King.
Oh, shine your light.
Shine your light and you let the whole world see.
Oh, we're singing
of the glory
of the risen.
Come on, let's sing that again. Shine your light.
Shine your light and you let the whole world see.
Oh,
we're singing of the glory of the risen King.
Come on, somebody sing it. Shine your light.
Shine your light and you let the whole world see.
Oh,
we're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Savior.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. And forever, the author of salvation.
Come on.
And he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered.
Let's take that again. Let's worship him. Somebody sing it.
and Savior, and He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Somebody lift up your hands and worship Him.
The author of salvation.
Oh, He's the author of salvation.
He rose and conquers the grave. Jesus conquers the grave.
So Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything I've been through, use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, lifting my praise to You. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer You my life.
Lord, I offer You my life. Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything I've been through,
use it for Your glory, Jesus. As a pleasing sacrifice,
as a pleasing sacrifice,
Lord, I offer You my life.
Lord, I offer You my life.
All that I am,
and all that I am, and all that I have, I lay them down before You.
You have been through, tell Him to use it for His glory.
Use it for Your glory.
Lord, Lord, I offer my days. Oh, we offer our days to You as a pleasing sacrifice, oh God. Oh, yes, Lord.
As a pleasing sacrifice.
Lord, I offer. Again, all that I am,
and all that I am,
all that I have,
all that I have,
I lay them down,
I lay them down before You. All of my dreams and all of my plans, joy and the pain,
hearts worshiping. Lord, I offer you my life.
Just worship him and just begin to bless his name. Somebody adore him. Exalt him. Tell him that you offer all of your life to him. Tell him that you offer your days to him to use it for his glory. Oh Lord, we exalt your holy name. There is none like you. Oh yes, Lord, we worship you and we praise you, oh God. We magnify you and we exalt you, oh God. Somebody just lift up your voice and begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to invite him into your heart. Tell him to come into your life. Tell him that you are offering up everything unto him. You are giving yourself away unto him. Oh, somebody just surrender yourself unto the Lord this morning. Oh, and just bless his holy name. Father, we give ourselves away unto you. Oh, yes, Lord.
We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. And we magnify you alone.
Let's begin to sing, I give myself away.
Oh, we give ourselves away.
Somebody sing this song with me.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can.
Let's sing that again. I give myself.
I give myself away.
Just worship him. Lift up your voice and sing it unto him.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Lord, we give ourselves to you. I give myself away so you can use me.
Here I am.
And here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands.
Lord, I'm longing.
Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away.
Take my life.
Take my life
as a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
All my dreams and all my plans.
All my dreams.
Lord, I place them in your hands.
Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away.
Oh,
I give myself away.
Give
myself away. not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Somebody sing it with me. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. Lord, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. No.
My own.
To you
I give myself.
My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong.
I give myself
away.
My
life is not my own. My life is not my own. I belong.
I belong.
I give myself away.
I give myself
to you. I give myself away. Oh God, I give myself away.
Somebody lift up your hands and just worship Him. Just bless the name of the Lord. Tell Him that you give yourself away to Him. Oh, somebody sing this unto Him and just worship Him. Lord, we give ourselves unto You.
I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. I give myself to You.
Give myself away
so You.
Give
myself away, Lord, we give ourselves to You. I give myself away so You can use me.
Heavenly Father, we thank You, O God, for Your loving kindness. And this morning we just surrender ourselves unto You, O Lord, to have Your way in us. Father, may our lives be lived in such a manner, O God, that it comes up as an offering unto You, O God. May the way we live our lives be pleasing unto You, Heavenly Father. May everything that we do, whether we eat or drink, Heavenly Father, may it glorify Your holy name. And I ask, O God, that come and live inside of us. Come and live in our lives, O Lord. Do as You please and have Your way with us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. And you may walk around and welcome somebody. Amen. Welcome somebody. Tell them I'm glad to see you in the house of God. Amen. Come on. Tell them I'm glad to see you in the house of God. Wow.
Time. It's blessing time. Amen. I want us to lift our offerings. Amen. So, you can pick up your phones right now and text your offering. Amen. If you want to give it manually, to bring the basket around. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray over our offering? Father, we just thank You for another opportunity to give unto You. Bless this seed. Bless our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Powerful.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm never going back
I'm never going
to
back.
The way it used to be. Amen.
Amen.
changed.
I've been changed.
Been
healed and free, delivered, and I found joy, peace, and grace, and favor, and favor.
My sins,
my sins,
they've been forgiven,
forgiven, all my chains,
oh, and even my fears,
fears,
somebody, your past,
my past,
it's over now,
it's over. Way it was.
Amen. Oh, shall we rise up to our feet? Amen. As we put our hands together for Apostle Joel. Amen. Oh, somebody put your hands together.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessing upon us in this service. We're grateful to you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to us, and we're grateful. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Powerful clap for these wonderful people. And you may take your seats, please. All right. Today is Founders Day. Amen. And it's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. And because if it wasn't for our founder and if it wasn't for our father, every father is a founder. Amen. And if it wasn't for him, we would not be here today. Amen. And if you want to see the importance of our founder, think of any benefit that has come to you since you joined or associated yourself with this church. Amen. And right there, you can see that whether directly or indirectly, a lot of blessings have come from God, but through him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 It is important that we love God, but it is important also that we recognize and love the vessel he uses. Amen. To bring things to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, sometimes the vessel makes a big difference. In fact, often, nearly all the time, the vessel makes a big difference. Hallelujah. Because I can have something for you, but if I put it in the wrong cup for you, that would be the end of it. Isn't it? Something you love very much, you can reject because of the vessel is arriving in. Isn't it? Something you are known to love, something you are known to be passionate about. It's like someone knows that you're passionate about Coke. You like and love Coke. And so he pours Coke into something undesirable, a dirty cup or something like that. Right there, in spite of your passion and your desire and your long-standing love affair with Coke, suddenly you turn your back on Coke. It's not because it's not real Coke. It is just because it is in the wrong vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. So people who say that, no, all that matters is God, but the person he uses doesn't matter. You're making a mistake. Wow. Hallelujah. It is God and the vessel he uses. That is why Jesus said, ye believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Because it's always a combination of God and the vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. Jehoshaphat said, if you believe in God, you will be established. Then he says, but you need to believe his prophets in order for you to prosper. Hallelujah. And so it's a great thing that we have taken and set time aside to honor this great vessel that God has used to be a blessing to us in this place here in LA and also in many places across this country and across the world today. Hallelujah. So it's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord and give Jesus a shout and thank him for blessing us with our dear Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. Hallelujah. Right. Do you have the thing? Just put it up here. I'd like to have him right here while I'm preaching. Amen. It's a good day to celebrate the person that God has used to be a blessing to us. You know, I have a little video on my phone, which I can, I won't show it to you today, but I just remembered it talking about vessels. I'm going to share it with you maybe after the service. Eric cannot see how to get in, but someone just bring him in. Amen. Right. You know, the video is someone goes to a restaurant and he or she, I think they're just playing a prank on people, and they serve soup in something that looks, is a dish shaped like a toilet bowl. You know,
yeah.
And then it's a small dish that is shaped like a toilet bowl. And so the person orders soup and they sit down happily waiting for the soup to arrive. Then suddenly the waiter comes in his bow tie and everything, and he sets this toilet bowl in front of them, you know. And then, you know, the lid of the toilet bowl is the lid of the bowl. And so they just open it and then they dish out the soup. And then suddenly all the guests, you know, they try it on different people and they all just, and nobody wants it. Do you understand? Nobody wants it. And the people who are serving it are trying to convince them that it is what you ordered. You know, it is the soup you ordered. Yeah. Properly made, professionally cooked by our gourmet chef, and the people just look at it and they reject it. They do not want to have anything to do with it. You know, okay, I can show it to whoever's close right here. Can you see it? Look at it. Can you see it? Okay. So there, the guests have arrived. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, the guy brings the soup. Then he opens it.
Wow, what a soup.
They don't want it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So can you see that it's not just that you have good soup, but the vessel makes a big difference. Hallelujah. You know, we have all experienced God's gifts, but I believe that one of the reasons why you have come as far as you have come and I have come as far as I have come in the Lord, in this church, is because also of the vessel that God has used. Hallelujah. Many people have been to other churches before and the word of God, same Bible is being preached over there, but they have not thrived in that environment because of the vessel that is being used over there. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, when you hear someone say, I prefer this church to this church, or I don't like this pastor, I don't do, you know, it is basically a conversation about the vessel. It's usually not about the word of God or the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. It is the word of God. It's the same everywhere. But after accepting and believing in God, the next important thing or the next important determinant of whether you will continue with the Lord is the vessel that God is using to minister to you. Hallelujah. So that is why we do not despise the vessel that God has given us, but we are taking time to honor him today on his birthday. Founders Day is usually the Sunday following May 14th. May 14th is Bishop's birthday, and the Sunday following is Founders Day in Lighthouse Chapel everywhere. Hallelujah. Now, last week I started sharing with you about honoring your father, isn't it? Said honor your father or honor your founder. That was the message title last week. And I gave you a number of reasons why you must do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one reason was what? Do you have it? Refer to your notes and tell me very quickly. Number one reason is what?
One of the Ten Commandments.
It is one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? That when God summarized all of life into just 10 simple things to do, one of them was to honor the person through whom you have come to exist. Hallelujah. Whether the person is your biological parent or the person is your spiritual parent, the person through whom you come to exist is a very important determinant of success for you. Hallelujah. And your relationship with him is a very important determinant of how things will turn out eventually for you in this life. Hallelujah. So it is one of the Ten Commandments. Number two is what? The second reason, it prolongs your days in any blessing, isn't it? It prolongs your days in any blessing, especially the blessings that have come through him. Hallelujah. If you honor your father or your founder, it prolongs your days in the blessing that God has given you through him. Hallelujah. The Bible says riches are not forever. That is why good days are not forever. Hallelujah. Riches are not forever. That is the truth. But riches can be prolonged. Do you understand? A lot of blessings that come into your life can stay for a longer time. And the determinant of how long you remain enjoying a certain blessing that God has given to you is really how you treat the person through whom God has brought that blessing to you. Amen. That is why the Bible says if children don't honor their mother and father, they will not live long and it will not be well with them. Do you see what I'm saying? Because your father and mother is actually a source of life. So to despise them is to despise life itself. And if you despise life, anything you despise goes away from you. So when you despise life, you're not entitled to any of it. Hallelujah. I mean, anything you despise just doesn't come to you. For example, if you were walking by the street on the sidewalk and you found a $100 bill lying on the floor and you just despised it, you are just not going to have that $100 bill. The only one who gets to have the $100 bill is the one who respects it and says, hey, let's take 3 steps backwards to check this and pick it up. And they go back and they pick it up. So anything you have it because you have respected it. And you have respected it, so that thing has come to you and has remained with you. Hallelujah. Anything that has come to you that you have not respected has not lasted around you. Including your clothes, including your shoes, including your car. Anything that you have not treated well, that you have, even though it came to you, you know, the determinant of how long it remains with you is how you treat it. Hallelujah. Amen. So despising things that God brings to you, despising people that God brings into your life, ultimately will shorten the length of time that you enjoy the blessing they come with. Can I have an amen? I think that is very simple and easy to understand, isn't it? So I believe that God wants us to honor our founder in order to enjoy the blessing that has come through him for a long time to come. Can I have an amen? And I believe that blessing is making a difference in our lives. Amen. It's making a difference. And you will see much more difference will come. You will see that God has provided for you. You actually haven't developed to that place where you will see that provision. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like someone who puts cash away for his child's education. You get it? It's a provision that has been made for you. Your life has just not matured or developed enough to take advantage of that benefit. But in the day you get married, in the day you start having children, in the day that you get into different situations and marital crisis and different challenges and difficulties in your life, you will see that a long time ago, God used this person to make a provision for you. Hallelujah. For example, one of the powerful books that Bishop Dagg has written and which we have in our house is the book Model Marriage, which is not relevant to many of you. Yeah. What a shock. Or appears to be. Hallelujah. Yeah. But in the day that your life evolves and develops to that point, you will be glad to know that many, many years ago, a book like that was written for you. And was written a long time ago. Hallelujah. So it's a provision. It's one of the blessings that God has provided. So there are blessings that God has provided through Bishop Dag that you are even yet to enjoy. That you are even yet to experience. Can I have an amen? Amen. Next one is what? Next one, real quick. It is what? It is a curse for the hearts of children not to be turned towards their father. Hallelujah. Shortcut to being cursed. Turn your heart away from the founder or from your father. Hallelujah. And suddenly you are exposed. Hallelujah. And spiritual laws are such that when you break them, you don't see immediately that you have broken the spiritual law, because the consequences are often not obvious or immediately felt. It's not like crossing the road without watching. Do you understand? If you cross the road without looking left or right, I think that the consequences can be immediate. You will experience it instantly. Do you understand? But when that's breaking a physical law or instruction. But when it comes to spiritual things, when you break them and you transgress them, the effect is not immediate, or the effect is not instant. And the reason is because the effect is actually a process, and processes take time. Hallelujah. But you would have set in motion a process which will take time to mature and manifest fully. Do you understand? And often when you have to remove or undo that process also, that also takes time to achieve. Amen. And as a pastor, I've learned it, and I've come to see that it's not everybody that you can just pray over and just say, be gone, and it's gone. Yeah. Because you may at best start the process of reversing something that has been or set in motion in their lives for a long time. Do you understand? It's a tree that's been growing for a long time. What you are seeing is the fruit. And it takes a long time to see fruit on a tree. Do you understand? So by the time you identify the fruit and say, this is an orange tree, usually it's been in existence for a long time. It's not like someone showed up with it and planted it behind your house yesterday. That doesn't bring orange fruit. Hallelujah. It takes time. By the time you're seeing the fruits, most of the time, you have been living it and living with it for a very long time. And it's now that the fruits are shown. So if somebody shows up and says, let's just pick all the fruits and the oranges will be finished, that's not how we kill it. Amen. Amen. It takes time. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to watch out not to live in a curse. Amen. These are the scriptures, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next one is what?
It is immature.
Not to recognize and honor your father. Hallelujah. It is immature not to recognize and to respect the system which brings you what you have. Isn't it? It's only a child who focuses on what they got. But a grown up looks behind to see. I think I gave you the illustration of the arm. Isn't it? That your arm is actually a system that bends in different places and so on, and makes it possible for certain things to be handed down to you. And when you're a child, you just look at what is being given to you. But a grown-up can see that if this arm freezes at any point, if it freezes somewhere, it's not bringing anything to you. Hallelujah. Right. And then did I give you a last one?
Yes.
What is it? What's number five?
It is your duty.
Hallelujah. The Bible says a son honors his father and a servant his master. A son honors his father. That means if we as a church are sons and daughters of Bishop Dag, our job, it is our duty. A son does it, isn't it? So the church is the son, the church is the daughter, the church is the child, the church is the fruit, and the church must honor him. It is our duty. Hallelujah. and that will bring a blessing to us. Hallelujah. It is wrong to have an attitude and say, well, your father or mother has done their job. I didn't ask to be born. Wow. That is the language of a cursed person already. Yeah, that is the language of I didn't ask to be born. Meanwhile, you're enjoying all the benefits of being alive. Do you understand? And when you have an opportunity to die, you run away from it. But you should have allowed yourself to die. Since you say you didn't ask to be born. Wow. Hallelujah. So we can't as a church say, well, we didn't ask to be formed. The church has been a blessing to us. It is stupid, unintelligent, non-MIT-ish type of thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, I'm continuing today. I mean, my time is already gone, but I think I need to take my time with this message so you guys understand it properly. What do you think? All right. So, I am continuing from there. Amen. And to talk about how to honor your father. Amen. Or one of the ways to honor your father. Now, there are many ways to show honor. Hallelujah. And there are many ways to show honor. Or so often when we want to honor people, there are many things we do that we feel convey the message that we do honor them. You know, so sometimes when you go to a church, you see they have a special parking lot, you know, for the spot for the pastor or something like that. I was in a church the other day and the pastor's parking lot had a sign there. It says, this parking spot is for the preacher only. Then it says, you park here, you preach. You know, it says for the preacher only, something like that. You park, you preach. You know, so someone has it there. I mean, it's their way of honoring, you know, the pastor. Some people, some churches, when you go there for the first time, they have a special parking spot for visitors. A person who is visiting for the first time shouldn't struggle for parking. I believe our day is coming when we shall also have a special parking spot, you know. So like when you came to church for the first time today, you would have a special parking spot for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So things like that, sometimes they serve you first and so on. But out of all the things or all the different ways that they show honor or different ways to show honor, I believe that there is a particular way that demonstrates honor more than any other way. Hallelujah. And that is the one of the ways that even God himself chooses to experience honor from us. So when you read your Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, do you know where to find Proverbs? Yeah. It's in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs, chapter 3, yes, for the few of you who use a real Bible, book Bible, just divide the Bible into two in the middle and then reverse to the left. And you see Proverbs there. Hallelujah. All right. Proverbs chapter 3. Have you found it? And Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, so this right here is one of the methods or is a method that God has chosen for experiencing honor. That if you do this, I will feel honored by you. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you do this, I will feel honored by you. That means there must be something about honoring with your substance that makes God feel that this is real honor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That, and your substance simply means what you have, something you have. And I believe that one of the reasons why God looks at what people do with their substance to feel honor from substance is because people's hearts are attached to their substance. Is it not true? Yeah. People work with all their might and work with all they know and work with all their time and do everything they can do to have something. So when people have something, their hearts are with the thing. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the reason why Jesus said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, you're looking for where someone's heart is. Don't go looking for the heart. The heart is a difficult thing to study. The heart is a difficult thing to follow. Do you understand? Everybody's heart is a complex thing, and it's very difficult to know where the heart is pointing and what it's doing. Hallelujah. So David had to pray, says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Because I don't even know where my heart is, and I don't even know what's going on in my heart. Wow. You need to use a special light to investigate and track my heart to really know and assess where my heart is and who I am. So the Bible says the heart is really difficult to know. It is a very difficult thing to know. So Jesus gave us a simple formula. Forget about the heart. Go after the treasure. He said, if you just follow someone's treasure, you will know where their heart is. If you go to see what people do with their treasure, you will know where their heart is. So even a very simple test you can run on yourself. If you want to know where your heart is, just take your checkbook or your bank statement. Do you understand? Or your credit card statement. And just look at all the expenses and see what you spent the money on. The direction of your treasure. Do you understand? Just see the itemized statement and see where did $100 go and the next $50, where did it go? And the next $10, where did it go? And just look at it and just, if you like, create categories. Do you understand? Create categories and just say, this is personal, this is for God, this is this. And just do an analysis of the spending, and right there, you have an undeniable revelation of where your heart truly is, in spite of what you profess. Do you see what I'm saying? Coming here on Sunday morning for 2 hours is not enough or sufficient revelation of where your heart is. How long does it take to watch a movie? Wow. When people go to a movie theater, it takes them longer to get there, to stay there, and to come back home. That whole experience is longer than the church experience on Sunday morning. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Most good movies are more than 120 minutes. But 120 minutes is all we get to spend here. Do you understand? That's all we get to spend here. Our total time, service time here, is 120 minutes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and most of us even catch it in the middle. Do you see? Yeah. So you see that it's not the coming here that reveals something. It's not enough. Do you understand? Coming here on Sunday morning is not sufficient revelation of where your heart is. But rather, what you do with your treasure. Where the bulk of your treasure goes and how it's spent is a good revelation of what is really important to you. That is why God said, honor me with your substance. That if you honor me with your substance, I'll feel really honored because your heart is attached to your substance. And as your substance moves towards me, I will really feel that your heart is towards me. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Does it make sense what I'm sharing? Yeah. So that is why honor is shown by substance. Hallelujah. So one of the ways to honor people is by giving to them. Now, go with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi, chapter 1, and verse 6. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Can you see that? A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Will he be pleased with thee? Saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now, the first thing I'd like to say here is that honor is not the same as worship. Amen. When you honor someone, you're not worshiping him. Do you see? When we set a day aside to have Founders Day, or if we are having a service and we put a picture of our founder here on Founders Day, we are not worshiping him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes people make very idiotic statements that show a lack of depth in thought. Do you understand? I mean, non-MIT-ish type of thinking, you know. This lady is in trouble. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. But otherwise, some of you have pictures of your mother or pictures of your father or pictures of someone who means a lot to you, your beloved, or someone you are hoping to beloved those or something. All kinds of people, you have them as your screensaver, isn't it? Yeah. That every few minutes when your computer is not in use, this person's picture comes right on there. So shall we say that that person is also being worshipped by you? Some people have a picture of their mother in their wallet. Well, at least until they have a baby. Then when they have a child, they remove their mother's, or they keep their mother's photo there and they just put the child's photo on top of that one. And every time they open their wallet, they are staring at their child. Some people have in their office on their desk a picture of their beloved. Yeah. It is only when the relationship is over that they smash the frame and just break it and just rip the picture into pieces and just throw the whole thing away and you are so done with, I'm done with you, get out of here. Do you understand? Yeah. But the reason people are able to do that is because they were not worshiping the person. There is a difference between admiration and worship. There is a difference between honoring someone and worshiping the person. Hallelujah. And that difference is revealed here. We are reading a passage where God is making a comparison between himself and the governor. So would we say that God was suggesting that worship the governor? Do you think that's what God was saying? He was not saying that for sure. Hallelujah. So worship is not the same as honor. Hallelujah. When we honor him, we're just honoring him. We're not worshiping him. In our church, there are no songs about him. We don't say any prayers to him. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't say any prayers to Bishop Dag. We rather pray for him, as we will be doing today. Hallelujah. Yeah, but I would expect that anybody you worship, you pray to him. Anybody you worship, you sing songs about him. Isn't it? Yeah. So we're not worshiping him just by mentioning his name in church or honoring him. But we are just respecting and valuing a gift that God has given to us. Can I have another amen? Does it make sense to you? Hallelujah. So we are not worshiping. Amen. We are not worshiping. Hallelujah. Number two. Number two thing that I want to say. Is that when we honor, we move away from despisement. When we honor, we move away from despisement. Hallelujah. In other words, when you are not honoring someone or when you do not honor someone, what you're doing is despising the person. Hallelujah. What you're doing is despising the person when you are not honoring him. Hallelujah. Now look at the verse we're reading. He says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. You know, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, all priests that despise my name. So as I'm not receiving honor from you, what I'm receiving is despisement. Hallelujah. Now, you can despise someone without intending to, or without realizing that the lack of honor or the absence of honor implies a despisement. And these priests were actually in the same situation. So he says, God said, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised your name? In other words, I mean, what do you mean by we have despised your name? We go to church singing your worship songs every day. Everything in church is about you. We talk about you all the time. And you stand here and you say we are despising your name? And God is saying that the despisement is in the absence of honor. Hallelujah. Yeah. The despisement is not in a declaration. It's not in standing up and saying that we despise you or down with you. Very few people will actually do something like that. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, when you have demons and you are overflowing with them, then you would say something like that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Very few people will actually do that and say, down with you. Very few members of Lighthouse Chapel International will ever say, down with Bishop Dad. And yet many of us do despise him, just like these priests, they despise the Lord. And when God came up with it, when God says, where is my honor is not here, and therefore you priests are despising my name, the priest came up and said, look, where and how did we despise you? What are you talking about? So God had to go on and explain how come they were despising him. Hallelujah. And that gives me the third point, which is that the despisement is shown by the absence of gifts. The absence of gifts and the ministration of one's substance. Hallelujah. The despisement is shown by the absence of gifts and the ministration of one's substance. Hallelujah. Now continue in the verse 7. When the people said, you know, when they said, wherein have we despised your name? Then God said unto them, verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. Hallelujah. So obviously God was not talking, when he was referring to honor here, he was not referring to they don't obey his instructions. He was not referring to they haven't left him a special parking spot. Do you see what I'm saying? He was talking with specific reference to something they give and they offer to him. Because he has already declared that if you come to me with your substance, I'll feel honored by you. Do you understand? And he said that you guys have despised my name. And you are standing there and saying, how have we despised you? So he said, you offer, it's in the things that you have brought to me. Yeah. Hallelujah. That means the things that we bring or do not bring reveal honor. Hallelujah. And the things that we bring can show that we honor someone, or they can actually show that we despise someone. And it's always the truth. Sometimes the treatment you get shows how someone thinks about you. Is it not true? Yeah. Sometimes the treatment you get shows how people think about you. Yeah. When they have a lot of respect for you, they treat you differently. And in another situation, you see that you are despised. You see that you are just chosen to choose anything or find a place to sit while someone else is taken to a seat. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So God could feel it. He said, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Then he said, offer it now to thy governor. Hallelujah. Amen. The people were bringing the blind. You know, if someone had a flock of sheep and he wanted to make a sacrifice or to go and honor the Lord with his substance, because God said, honor me with your substance. That means honor me with something you have. He said, okay, no problem. I'm going to bring you something I have. So they look among the things they have, the one that they least like, such as the lamb that is limping, or the goat or sheep that is blind. Do you understand? Maybe it was eating some grass somewhere and some thorn or some something insect went into its eye and the eye is closed and it cannot see. Do you see? Or it's limping in some way. And the people would take these sheep, a sheep that they can see no future in. It's like one that has been walking slowly lately. It looks like it's about to die. Do you understand? And let me offer it quickly to the Lord before it dies. And they were doing those kinds of things. Hallelujah. So despisement is revealed in the gifts. Hallelujah. The absence of the gifts, or offering gifts that are unacceptable, gifts that cannot be accepted. Do you see? That is where the despisement is. And God said, that's how I feel despised. I feel despised by you, not because you didn't even bring anything, but because you brought me a coughing goat. You brought me a goat that was having a running stomach. As the goat was coming to the church, the goat has diarrhea. Do you understand? Yeah. See, I grew up in my home where we used to have goats and sheep, you know, and we used to raise them. And they used to have some disease that would come upon them at some time. I don't know what caused it, but I think there was a season of the year where they would have this disease. And when the disease happens to them, they start to foam at the mouth and then they soon die. Yeah. And we had a guy living with us who helped to look after these goats, who ensured that none of them was going to be wasted. So as soon as you start foaming at the mouth, he already knows your future and he will execute the future and make it happen rather fast. Yeah. And my mother wouldn't want to have anything to do with such meat, so this guy will just be happy. I mean, he would kill the whole goat and have it to himself and make soup outside the house, and he'll be eating the meat he'll share with his friends. Hey, very, very powerful. You know, he used to say, if it can kill a goat, it can't kill me. Said that whatever disease the goat had, it kills goats, it cannot kill me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God said, I feel despised because of the type of gift. The gift is not acceptable to me. And because of that, there is no gift. And by that, I feel despised. Hallelujah. So he said to them, if you like, test it. Run a little test. Offer it to your governor to see if he will be happy with you. If he will accept it. If your governor will not take it from you, then I didn't take it from you, even though you brought it. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? See, let me show you one more verse that shows that the absence of gifts is a sign of despisement. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. Is my message making sense to you? Are you learning something today? All right, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. It says, but the children of Belial, they said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. And he held his peace. Hallelujah. They were having maybe a king's day or a founder's day of some sort. This was a day when Saul had been made king. You know, if you just back up a little bit, if you just go to, let's say, verse 26, you know. Yeah. And Saul, okay, maybe 25. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. You know, they had had a kind of, coronation or ceremony or something like that. And it was over. And Samuel sent everybody to his house. Then verse 26 says, and then Saul, who was the king who had just been installed, he went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Hallelujah. Amen. Says, so when you find yourself loving and following a man of God, it's because God has touched your heart. Hallelujah. So any day you start to feel like God has abandoned you, or you feel like God is not near you, remember he touched your heart even to fall in love with the church and with the man of God. Amen. Now verse 27 says, but the children of Belial, they said, how shall this man save us? Do you see? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Hallelujah. So you can see that where there is despisement, one of the signs is the absence of presents. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where there is despisement, one of the signs is the absence of gifts. And we as a church have made a mistake. Do you understand? What we are doing today is something we should have been doing all the time. Hallelujah. We should have been doing this all the time. We should have had a day that we set aside and encourage the members, the people who listen to his messages, the people who have been blessed by his books, the people whose marriages have been saved by the books and the things he has written. You know, sometimes your pastor may share some things with you, but listen, why the pastor is reading the thing from a book? Where did he get it from? You are happy and blessed by the pastor. What about the one who gave it to the pastor? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. What about the one who is, the pastor is using it as a manual to counsel you? Do you understand? That is the reason why when you want to use someone's intellectual property, you want to even to quote something from someone's book, you are supposed to pay some royalties or something like that to the person. Because you who is using the thing, you look great. And you are offering it. But what about the one who created what you are using to look great? And what is the value of your marriage when it's saved by a counsel or a principle that someone shared with you from a book that someone stayed up all night to write? One day I had a counseling session with a couple in one of our churches, and they were very grateful. And I was wondering why. And the person said to me, you have no idea what you've done for us. And I said, why? He said, we went to a marriage counselor, and the marriage counselor was charging us, she said, $40 per 40 minutes or something like that. Yeah. The marriage counselor was charging them that. And after they've been through there, they'd gone for the counseling there for some time. The person finally just brought the final conclusion of the matter that, you know, if you two can't stick it together, just separate. Wow. Yeah. The counsel was that if you can't continue together, I think the best counsel for you is to go your separate ways. Do you understand? Yeah. And the person was thinking, oh, this we could have done without coming here. We didn't have to spend $40 an hour for so many hours to hear this. Do you understand? This is some conclusion we could have come to before. Hallelujah. And so when they had come to church and we had used the word of God and the counseling, we used the book, the model marriage book, and we tried to counsel them and to help them to work things out. Then he said to me, you have no idea what you've done for us. But it's not I who did it. It's the one who wrote the manual. He is the one who is the genius. Do you understand? He is the anointed one. He is the one who has blessed you. Hallelujah. And yet often he is the one who is forgotten. The one who is using the thing is the one who looks great. But the one who created what is being used often is forgotten. Hallelujah. But that's a mistake we will correct in our church. Can I have an amen? What do you think? Is it a good idea? We must correct that mistake. Hallelujah. Now, the next point is honoring with substance often involves giving to someone who doesn't need it. Honoring with substance often involves giving to someone who does not need it. Hallelujah. Now, even God, in the passage we're reading, when God was trying to run a test, do you see, on whether the people were honoring him or not, he said, offer it to thy governor. That means the bread and the sheep that you have brought. Offer it to the governor. Now, think about it. Do you think the governor is in need of bread? Do you think the governor is so broke that he needs bread? Which governor? You take any of the governors of any of the states in the United States. Do you imagine that there's any one of them who doesn't have bread? Who doesn't have meat in his house? Do you understand? And yet God is saying, listen, the test of honor, the things you brought to me, take them to the governor. I would have thought that if need was a factor, God will say, take it under the bridge and find one of those homeless guys and give it to them. Yeah. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. God will say, take it where it's needed. When you are not mature, you only give to people who appear to need what you have. Wow. Do you understand? But giving to a need is not honoring someone. It's helping someone. Do you understand? When you give to a need, when you give to me because I need it. Let's say I come to church and you can see that my shoes are just, maybe the front of my shoes are open and the Lord touches your heart. You feel very sorry and you look at me pitifully in your heart. So you go to Payless and then next week you bring me a pair of shoes from Payless. That is not honoring me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you give to someone, otherwise when you see a beggar by the wayside and you give them a quarter or two, would you say that's honoring them? No. That is not honoring them. When you give to meet someone's need, you are not honoring them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anytime people are given anything for the purposes of honor, they usually don't need it. Hallelujah. And it is actually that very element. It is the fact that the thing is giving even though the person doesn't need it. That's what makes it constitute honor. Because then what is the purpose of that giving? Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes when you have dignitaries visiting nations and coming to countries, like in my country, Ghana, when dignitaries come from other places, it is very common for them. You see, we have this special thing called the kente cloth. Which you find, it's a special thing that you find in Ghana. Do you understand? When you have dignitaries who come from other countries and so on, it is very common for them to be presented with a gift of kente cloth. The purpose is to honor them. Do you understand? Now, do you think this person who has come from Korea didn't have clothes to wear? Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you think they didn't have clothes to wear before they came? That's not the point. And even whether they will ever wear that kente thing itself is also very questionable. Do you understand? Yeah, even whether they will even take it with them. Yeah, because I have traveled to places before and I've been given gifts. Like sometimes people give me special gifts and so on. These little things from their country. I don't have a place for it in my bag. Do you understand? Yeah, I received the gift and I feel blessed. But frankly, when I look in my bag, I cannot find any place to put in my bag. Because I don't travel with a bag, a suitcase to check it and so on. I don't know if you check your suitcase. If you travel a lot, you should learn not to be checking bags. You arrive and the bag, it didn't come. Yeah, so many different. Then sometimes you have to make switches and so on. You have to beg them to put you on the plane and so on. And then they always, when you are making a change, the question they ask you is, do you have a check bag? As soon as you have a check bag, the whole thing just becomes very complicated. You get it? So no matter how long I'm going to stay, I have learned to fit myself into my little bag. I tell you, I will pack every small space and just put something there. And the art of packing, you have to come and see me and I'll show you how to pack. Yeah? I'm good at packing things. Yeah. So I can fit myself in my small bag and I fit tight, I tell you. If I have to sit on it to close it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So sometimes when I come to a place like that and someone gives me this and that, I'm so grateful. But the truth is that I don't have a place for it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you see all these people, they give them things. They give them kente, and they'll bring the guy and his wife and they give them kente and they smile and they receive it. But listen, these people have clothes they are wearing already. They do not need that thing you've given to them. But it is the very element. Because if you gave it to them because they were naked, then that would be a different thing. That is meeting a need. That is helping someone. It's not the same as honor. Do you understand? Yeah. Even when it comes to honoring your parents. Your parents, you know, if they are blessed parents, often would not even need something from you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you see, many people make that mistake because they don't seem to need it. They do not minister to them or honor to them, not knowing that it's not about need. Because when you actually give to meet a need, you're on a different line. Do you understand? It's another type of giving, which is a good type of giving also, and has its blessing. It has what comes out of it. But that's not the same as honoring someone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. That is why God said, give it to the governor. The governor is not in need of anything, but God said, give it to him. That means try to honor him with that. Do you understand? Yeah. And of course, God himself does not eat these breads and all these things. Hallelujah. I think you understand that verse. So it often involves giving to someone who does not need it. Hallelujah. So when you give to someone who doesn't need it, you honor them. You understand? I know you don't need this, but I'm just giving it to you. It is because I am honoring you. Hallelujah. That is number one. Number four. Number what? Number three or four? Four. Well, whichever it is, at least you have it. Amen. All right. So then the next point is honoring when it is done properly can appear wasteful. Honoring when it is done properly can appear wasteful. Hallelujah. Now think about it again, like that verse says, offer it to the governor. I mean, if we have bread, what the last person we must give it to is the governor, if indeed we want the bread to be used properly. Do you understand? And actually, it is because of the previous point that we get this one. Because the previous one is saying that when you honor someone, you are often giving them something they don't even need. Do you understand? Then if they don't need it, why give it to them? That's where the concept of waste comes in. It's like you are wasting it. There are so many people living under the bridge. You know, Jeffrey, when I came to, I was with you actually, isn't it? When we were walking under the bridge, yeah, We walked under some bridge near Jeffrey School on Friday, and we saw somebody actually living there. I mean, he has a couch. Did you see the couch? Yeah, he had a couch. I don't know how he got a couch into that place, but he has a couch there. And then he has, I think, a shopping cart. That's his car. Do you see? And yes, that shopping cart is his closet, is everything. And he has his things in there. And he lives right there under the bridge. And there were these doves and pigeons and other birds that were all over the place. I mean, those are his companions. Do you understand? Now, when there is such a person, do you see? Why would you take bread, even the polluted one, and God said, give it to the governor? The one who needs it least is the one that receives it. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that is the nature of honor. Even just like the example I gave you, you give very expensive kente cloth to the prime minister of South Korea who has come to visit you, who has no need of a kente cloth, who most likely will never wear it. Yeah. See, a long time ago, somebody gave me a gift of one of those cloths, you know. I've never worn it, even one time. Sarah, do you remember? It's a white and something. That I think it's somewhere. I still have it. It's there, yeah. It's one of those things. You can't throw it away also. So it exists and it moves with us all the time. When we are moving, we see it and we pack it. And then we take it to the next house. We unpack it and that's it. I've never worn it. I think I wore it one time. Yeah, International Day. Yeah, that is it. Because I have my clothes that I'm wearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's someone who lives under the bridge who could use the money that was used to buy that thing, will totally change his life. And yet it doesn't go to him, it rather comes to me. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm the one who doesn't need it. And yet it comes to me. It is the nature of honor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the nature of honor. Now go to Mark chapter 14. Let's read this last passage and then we'll close. Wow. Mark chapter 14 and from verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Everybody say very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. Whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see what is happening here? So here is a woman who has brought some very precious ointment, and she just breaks it on Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Then suddenly, a lot of people around are thinking like most of us do when it comes to honoring the man of God. Do you understand? Because people start to think that, what a waste! Why do you do such a thing for someone who doesn't need it? And why, in this woman's case, she brought her own alabaster box of precious ointment. The Bible says very precious. I mean, the Bible says she brought an alabaster box of ointment, then takes the time to insert the expression very precious. Very precious. Do you see? And then she comes and she breaks it on Jesus Christ. And the people around are thinking, what a shock. I can't believe what I just saw. And they start to think. And of course, such thoughts are internalized. People don't say what they're really thinking. I am very sure that as we are saying that we are honoring Bishop Dag this morning, there must be some people sitting somewhere who are just thinking, what a waste. Do you understand? And it's always connected to the poor. Do you understand? Because people realize, or people often think, that all giving must just go in the direction of need. But giving to a need is one type of giving. Do you understand? There is also giving that is not to a need. You give to honor. You are giving not because the person is in need. How are you even going to know the person's needs? The higher the person is, the more disguised his needs are. You will not even see his needs. I mean, when the president comes from South Korea to come and visit you, how are you going to know what they need? How are you going to know that he needs a pair of shoes, or that he needs some new perfume, or do you even know what perfume he uses? So it's not about need. You are not mature when you only think that giving has to do with a need. That where you see a need, that is the only place that deserves giving. So these people were standing there. The Bible said they had indignation within themselves, and they were just thinking, what a waste. Then they thought that this thing, we could have sold it and given it to the poor. Do you understand? They could have sold it and given it to the poor. Because if we spend it here, we are just wasting it. We have given it to someone who does not even need it. Do you see? But there's somebody under the bridge who could have benefited from this ointment if we had sold it and brought it to him. You see? And that's even as though we would. Yeah. That's as though we would. Because I don't know how many of us actually give to the poor. So people say these things to hide their stinginess and to hide the disposition of their heart. Sometimes their despisement for the man of God. Are you getting it? Their despisement for the man of God is hidden by redirecting their thoughts and saying that we just wanted to give this to the poor. We wanted, you know, just the gospel to preach and so on. So Jesus is the one that stepped in and he said, leave the lady alone. I would have thought, this is Jesus. This is not some apostle preaching. This is Jesus. Do you understand? This is not James or John or Apostle Paul. This is Jesus. They did this for Jesus. And when some people were trying to criticize it, he stood up in defense of the woman and he said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. He said, leave her alone. And then Jesus said to them that the poor, you always have an opportunity to give to a need. Because the needs of the world will never finish. There will always be an opportunity to give to a need. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, the poor you always have with you, but me you don't always have with you. You will never always have. You know, listen, church, let's not make a mistake. I can imagine that if Bishop Dag was to drop dead today, and we were, God forbid, we said that we were having an offering or something for his funeral or something like that, you would see what people would do. Can you not imagine it? Can you not imagine that if we were trying to have a funeral for Bishop Dag? Can you not imagine what people would do? Even you, can you not think of what you would do? Yeah. And we are in a habit of appreciating people often when it's too late. Appreciating people behind their backs. Building monuments for them when they are dead. How nice it will be, yeah, painting their house when they are dead. How nice it would be to make a monument of someone when he is alive. How nice it would be, and take him to the place and show him what you have done for him. Don't you think it would be a nice thing? Yeah. To make a monument and bring Lincoln to that place and say, look at it, and show it to him before he dies. But often things are named after people after they die. Things are erected in their honor after they die. I mean, we're just used to coming too late, too late, too late, too late. We honor our parents too late. We honor our father, our mother too late. By the time you're honoring them, they are not even there to see it and there to appreciate it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'll never forget, you know, when I went to live in England, and then I remember someone blessed me with a very expensive watch, you know, and I felt that this watch is so beautiful and expensive, I think I'd give it to my father. Honestly, if I hadn't even given it to my father, I couldn't have worn it because I felt that this is way ahead of me. You know, so I decided to give it to my father. I remember my mother came to visit us at that time. And then when she was going back, I gave her the watch and I said to her that she should give it to my father. That this is a special thing that I think he should have, not me. You know, so I sent it to him. My mother took the plane. I remember she flew on Egypt Air and she flew back to Accra. This Egypt Air, they lost her baggage. Wow. They lost everything, including that particular watch. Nothing came. Actually, because of that, I've never flown Egypt Air. Do you see? So she got to Ghana, and then they kept saying, well, we're trying to trace your bags. We're bringing them. Can you believe 9 days after my mother arrived in Ghana, my father died. You know, and they never found the bag anyway. But he never got it. See, I had 9 more days to honor him. And I'm glad that God touched my heart to do that. Do you understand? At least from my part, I sent it. Do you see what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is that you never know sometimes how long more you have to honor someone. And these people who were complaining about ointment and so on, when Jesus died and they buried him, the Bible says the ladies, they came very quickly with spices to come and honor these same people who were complaining about ointment and expensive spices. I have now sent the same spices to the grave. Because human beings are like that. They see your value after you are gone. But we don't want to be a church that can appreciate the value of our founder after he's gone. That would be a mistake. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine a lighthouse where there are no more books, no more missionaries, no more new churches. You just imagine what a church it would be. Because he has directly been behind all these things. All the books we have in our church have been written by him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. There are a couple of other pastors who've written books here and there. But largely, all the books that have benefited us so much, that have changed our lives, were written by him. Imagine how it would be if he wasn't around anymore. And the kind of honor we would be organizing for him. That's the reason why we don't want to wait till it's too late. How many understand my message this morning? Are you blessed by the message? Hallelujah. Amen. So it may look often like a waste. Hallelujah. But I would say rather that until it looks wasteful, you probably are not doing it well. Are you following what I'm saying? Until it looks like you're wasting money or wasting something, you are probably not doing it well. You are probably doing it at the need level. As long as it remains at the need level, it won't look wasteful. But to truly honor someone, you have to bless them to the point of wastefulness. To the point where it looks like, I've given you something you don't need, but I don't care, you do what you want to do with it. And of course, people have different things they can do with different things. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, the fact that somebody has a car doesn't mean you shouldn't buy him a car. The fact that someone has an iPad doesn't mean you shouldn't buy them an iPad. No, shouldn't be always looking, oh, does he have an iPad? Oh, he has an iPad already. No, if you want to honor him with an iPad, you honor him with an iPad. Let him do what he wants to do with that iPad. Do you see what I'm saying? But don't decide for me that I don't need another iPad. Do you understand? I have iPads. This is one. Here's another one. You see? Yeah, and I have this one too. And they all sing, so they all talk to each other, and they all have the same things. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't give me another iPad. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because how would you like it if when you came to church, I'm so pleased with you, and I say, oh, wow. What's your name again? Nana Hene. And I say to you, Nana Hene, what a blessing it is for you to come to our church this morning. Listen, here's a gift of an iPad to you from me. How would you like that, Nana Hene? It'll be a blessing. He'll come back. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. There are so many things I can do with an iPad. So if the Lord says that you should honor the person with an iPad, you buy your iPad and give it to the person and leave it up to the person to do what they want to do with it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus yelled at those people and said, leave the woman alone. Leave her alone. She has done what she could. Hallelujah. She has done what she could. In another story, he was explaining, somebody was even criticizing when a woman was weeping on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair and so on. And they were just talking, said, this woman is a sinner, and why do you let her do these kinds of things? And Jesus said, you have not done it. So since I came to your house, you have not washed my feet. She has. You have not oiled me, and she has. And you have the audacity to sit there and complain about what somebody is doing. It's amazing how people can criticize. You give something to someone, your money to someone, and somebody, you know, sits back and criticizes it. And it's not like when you don't give it to him, you give it to him. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not like they are losing something because you are honoring someone. But it just pains them that somebody is being honored. And these are all revelations of evil in the hearts of people. When you read the Bible, you will see it was Judas. The Bible said it was Judas. He is the one who betrayed Christ, the one who loved money. He sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He sold his pastor, someone who had been preaching to him. Do you see? He sold him. He went to some people and said, listen, if you give me 30 cents, I'll show you where he lives. I'll give you his itinerary. I'll show you his prayer times. I'll show you where he prays. And I'll tell you everything about him. So you, and it's just 30 pieces of silver. The money was so little that after he finished and came back and he realized he had made a mistake, when he brought it back to the church. The people should put it back in the coffers. And the people said, well, we don't like this money. They just threw it away and said, you can take it. You do what you want with it. We don't like it. He said, this is blood money. We cannot add it to our offerings. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, often it's a revelation of what is in people's hearts. When the Bible says when Jesus said this, he said it because he was a thief. He loved money. Do you see? So he's always tracking money. Do you understand? So as the woman was pouring the oil and so on, he was just seeing men, dollars. Liquid dollars on the floor. Then he quickly made the calculation. This one, we can sell it. When we sell it, at this exchange rate, this is what it's going to come to. Hey, and all going to the man of God. Why? Is he God? That's where all these things start to come up. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope that I've made it very clear to you why we must honor our founder. Do you understand? And in no vague terms at all, how we must and why we must honor this man of God, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. Hallelujah. So I hope you brought a special gift, because I told you in this our branch, I am leading you to bring a special gift to him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Write a special note. Add a special gift Like I told you, it's not like he needs a gift. I think we've gone past that now. It's like going over my sermon. Hallelujah. It's not about a need. That's the lowest level of giving. The lowest level of giving is when you give to a need. When you give somebody who needs it, very obviously. At the highest level of giving, the person does not need. That's what is practiced among presidents and so on. I mean, someone has come to visit you. He, when he's coming to visit you, you see, he comes with his personal 747. Even before he comes, a whole other plane has brought his car. Do you see? Yeah? The whole other plane has... The other day I heard that he went somewhere and he gave the president a lift in his car. And the members of the citizens were very upset. Yeah, that why has their president sat in the President Obama's car? I don't know if it was Obama or Bush, but the people were upset that their president has sat in the other person's car. Yeah, they come, they bring their plane, and they land their plane and bring their president's car, and they use that to pick him. He's not going to sit in any car in your country. Do you see? And they use that to drive him around, and he rather gives you a lift. Hey! A person who has come with his own 747, what gift are you going to give to him? What gift can you give to him? But in the name of honor, a gift is still due. A gift is still due. Because he left his country and flew all the way to come and visit you. He didn't have to. Do you understand? And for that, you show honor. You show by giving a gift to say, here is something. And that thing must be a presentable something, a good something, not a coughing goat. President Obama comes to visit you, and then you bring a coughing goat, a limping, blind guinea fowl. And then you bring it to the airport tarmac to say thank you to him for coming. No, that's not how we do it. Hallelujah. That's not how we honor someone. Hallelujah. So from today, let's think correctly about honor. Amen? Amen. Let's think correctly about honoring our Father. What are the 5 points I've just given you today? Very quickly, give them back to me and we'll close. 1, 2, 3, go. What's the first one? We honor with substance, isn't it? Honoring with your substance is the first one. We must honor with our substance. Number two is what? We move away from despisement when we honor someone, isn't it? Number three, what? Despisement is shown by the absence of gifts. And what? Hallelujah. Right, and then number four, it involves giving to someone who does not need it. And then number five, honoring when done properly can appear wasteful. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you'll go from here and honor your parents. Amen. Honor your mother and honor your father. Hallelujah. You tell them, I know I cannot pay you. I know I cannot give you anything. I mean, Jeffrey, look at your parents. They flew all the way just to come and see you graduate from college. You see, it would have been enough if you have even paid for it yourself. You see, but they have from somewhere paid for you. Then after that, they fly to come and clap for you. I mean, it's priceless. You see what I'm saying? It's priceless. When you have to honor them, you don't have to be looking to see, do they have already an iPad? Oh, do they have something? You degrade your giving by attaching it to a need. Do you understand? You move it from the honor level and you put it at the same level as giving to the guy under the bridge. You degrade your giving every time you try to find a need. You try to fish out for a need. Because you're going to miss the element of waste, which is necessary. You see, the honor is revealed in the waste. It's the fact that we can splash this on you. That's where the honor is. So when you tailor it to a need, then the need will absorb the honor and there will be nothing over. So once there is no waste, there is no honor there. Hallelujah. So let there be waste. Amen. Splash the oil, your alabaster, whatever precious, splash it on the person where there's no, it's just wasted. Say, yeah, it's because we are trying to honor, not trying to meet a need. Hallelujah. The need will absorb it. When the need absorbs it, there is no honor. It brings it to zero. But when there is honor, there will be an overflow. It will not be needed, but it's being done. And that will bring a blessing also upon us. Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet and let's spend the rest of the time this afternoon just praying and closing the service. I want you to say a prayer for Bishop Dad today. I want you to pray for him. Put his picture over there, yes. And let's just pray for him. I want you to stretch forth your hand towards him and pray for him. And pray that as he obeys God, God will use him to do even greater things. God will bless him and anoint him more. God will build more churches through him. God will touch more lives through him. That his churches will be fruitful. That his family will be protected. Pray for him that God will deliver him and God will guide him. God will direct him in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus, make us. Thank you for such a gift. Thank you for such a gift. Not many people have such a person in their lives. Not many people are so blessed as we are to have such a person, but God has given him to us. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for long life. Pray for good health. Pray for the direction of God. Pray for prosperity upon him and prosperity upon his household in the name of Jesus. Pray for prosperity upon his children. Pray for protection for his children. Protection for his children. Protection for his daughters. Protection for his sons in the name of Jesus. When they travel, when they fly, when they drive, when they ride in other people's cars, may God protect them. The angel of God be there at all times in the name of Jesus. May God promote Bishop Dad. May God promote him. Promote him and use him more and more and more in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, oh my Father,
for giving us your Son.
Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for Founders Day. We thank you, Lord, for Bishop Dagg's life. We thank you, Lord, especially for every blessing that has come to our lives through him. We thank you, O God, for the church that you have founded through him. Thank you for the church that you have established through his ministry. Thank you for the many lives, the many families, the many people, O God, that this church has reached. We thank you, Lord, especially even for the many more that are yet to be reached, the many more places, cities, and countries where this church is yet to be found. We thank you, Lord, for all the books that you have provided through his ministry. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the counsel. Thank you for the encouragement, the expositions, the teachings, the care, Lord, the pastoral gift, the prophetic gift, the apostolic gift, Lord, the teaching gift, and everything else that you have given him for the benefit of the church. We know that our church would not be the same without him, and we are not deceived and confused by that at all. We know, O God, that many pastors and their churches in many other countries would not be the same without the gift that you have placed upon Bishop Dagg. And today we acknowledge that gift. And Lord, we honor that gift. We show respect for that gift that you have given to him, which has been a blessing to all of us. Because the gift is the Spirit of God himself. And we know that as we value the gift, it is you ultimately we are valuing. Because without you, he is nothing. That everything he is and everything he has been is because of you. I pray, Lord, that your hand will remain on him, that you will bless him, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint him, O God, with your holy oil. I pray that your hand will be established with him. I pray that your arm will strengthen him, O God. I pray that the enemy shall not exact upon him in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the son of wickedness will not afflict him in the name of Jesus. May you beat down his foes before his face in the name of Jesus. And may you plague them that hate him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, may your faithfulness and your mercy remain with him, O God. Let your faithfulness be with him. Let your mercy follow him all the days of your life, of his life, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that his horn will be exalted. I pray, Lord, that you will expand his reach. Set his hand in the sea and his right hand in the rivers, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, whenever he cries unto you, O God, the rock of his salvation, I pray that he will be special to you. Make him your firstborn in the name of Jesus. Let him go higher and higher and higher. Let his ministry rise and rise and rise. Let the churches founded by him rise and rise and rise. Let the pastors of other churches who have been blessed by his ministry, let all those pastors also rise with him in the name of Jesus. And let your mercy keep him forevermore. May your covenant stand fast with him, O God. Bless his seed, O God. Let his seed, his fruit, everyone that has come into ministry through him, every church that has been founded through him, every man of God who has found their calling through him, I pray that they will all endure forever in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that if his children forsake your law and walk not in your judgments, I pray that your mercy will show up and stand in the gap for them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, O God. Bless them, O God. May your loving kindness be with him and his family and with all who wish him well in the name of Jesus. Bless him, Lord. Supply all his needs. Let him not have a need that will not be met. Let there not be a day where he'll have a need that will not be met. But we pray that all of us who are sons and daughters in his household and in his ministry will be blessed, and let the blessing fall on him and trickle down, O God, and come all the way down to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Lighthouse Chapel, and we thank you for this great man of God who is our founder and who is our father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Now finally, before we go, maybe you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to start a new relationship with God today. I want to give you that opportunity. Don't leave this place without that relationship with God. Don't leave this place without being sure that your sins are forgiven, without being certain that if you die today, you will go to heaven. If this is the prayer on your heart, I want to help you. Just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Every eye be closed at this moment and I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anyone who wants to say this prayer? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus today. Is there anyone here like that today? Okay. Why don't we say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah.